Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, profits become easy. All right. Hello, everyone. This is Brian McAvoy with a new episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. I'm excited today to be interviewing Dan Passarelli, creator of Market Taker Mentoring. Thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Brian. I appreciate it.
Glad to have you here, man. So everybody knows, Dan is an author, trader, and former member of the Chicago Board Options Exchange and the CME Group. Dan's written two books on options trading, The Trading Option Greeks and The Market Taker's Edge. He's also the founder and CEO of Market Taker Mentoring, a leading options education firm that provides online options education, options newsletters, and personalized one-on-one coaching for options traders. Dan began his career on the floor of the CBOE as an equity options market maker. He has also traded agricultural options and futures on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade. In 2005, Dan joined CBOE's Options Institute and began teaching both basic and advanced trading concepts to retail traders, brokers, institutional traders, financial planners and advisors, money managers, and market makers. In addition to his work with the CBOE, he's taught options strategies at the Options Industry Council, the International Securities Exchange, the CME Group, and the Philadelphia Stock Exchange, the Shanghai Futures Exchange, which I found really cool and I want to come back to that, and many leading options-based brokerage firms. Along with being a very seasoned trader, Dan's also a pretty cool guy and very down to earth. Again, thanks for being here and being game for this interview, Dan.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Cool. Now let's start this off just for fun, because I thought it very noteworthy when I was looking at your LinkedIn profile that one of the titles that you have on there, trading is generally considered a left brain activity, and you know most people that get into trading tend to be a little more technically inclined, or at least numbers oriented, and of course you're a trader. But what I had to ask you about is one of your titles on LinkedIn is that you're a musician, which is very right brain, and that's a very cool mix. So yeah, that's pretty cool to being a musician and everything, and the fact that you can sing. So, but I tell you what, that's a really cool office you got there. What's with being outside on the deck and everything?
Well, we're getting our master bathroom redone. It was time, and they're making a whole bunch of noise in there. I decided to have it done the cheap way, meaning I hired contractors to do it. Which, if you're a believer in trader education, you probably know what I mean. Because if I were to go up there and start swinging hammers and stuff, oh man, I'd be taking things back that I accidentally broke and flooding the kitchen, and it would cost me about 10 times as much if I tried to figure it out myself. So let a professional do it.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Anybody who's attempted plumbing projects learns that real fast. Like, a buck and a half little thing, $5,000, and 2 weeks later, you're hired somebody to come in and fix all your work.
Yep.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Very funny. Very cool. Super basic question, but I think it is pertinent here. You know, there are a lot of ways to be involved in trading. And for you to be in the options space for 25 years is actually very cool. But what is it about options really that has kept you captivated for so long? You know, a lot of people would dabble in different things, but to stay in one spot for so long, that's very cool. So what is it about options?
I think it's really the multi-dimensionalness of them. I had a boss, like the risk manager at the company that I worked for, who would refer to option trading as mental masturbation. there's always just something to think about, something new to think about. It's more of a chess game, to the checkers that is, futures or stock trading. Not that those aren't hard things to do also. But there's just kind of more moving parts with options, which I kind of like. I kind of like thinking about all these different things and to my advantage.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, as far as being a sophisticated instrument and everything, definitely. Because yeah, there's so many different factors that are involved. Sure. So okay, that that makes sense. Huh, very cool. Now, one thing, and you know, I mean, you started and you spent a lot of time at the exchange level of this industry, and you're still involved in different activities in addition to trading. You know, like being on the advisory board at the at Surefire Capital. You're doing consulting work. You contribute to Bloomberg Business Television, Fox Business News, TD Ameritrade Network, and CBOE TV, along with being a resource to print, you know, journalists and markets, you know, on markets, trading, and investing. You got a lot going on. How do you manage your time and balance everything?
A lot of caffeine. yeah, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to put a couple more hours in each day, but I don't know. Everything I do, I'm passionate about. Otherwise, I just wouldn't do it, you know. And I guess having been in this industry for so, you know, for a long time, I mean, most of the people I know are traders or involved in the industry in some way or another. And it's just sort of, you know, that aspect's just, it's kind of hard to separate my personal identity from that identity. It's just kind of become who I am. So it's not just what I do as a job. It's just what I do as a person.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. Where you, yeah, you just, that's kind of infused itself throughout your life. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. But yeah, when I got to looking at it, it's like, man, yeah, you got a lot going on. That's pretty cool. Now, one thing I did definitely want to ask you about, just because I thought it was really noteworthy, is the Shanghai Exchange and working with the Chinese. I mean, how did that come about? And, you know, you're still involved with it, right?
I am. I haven't been there for, you know, since this COVID thing happened. Mm-hmm. But several years ago, I mean, it was probably about maybe 9 years ago back now, I found myself getting invited to speak at this group of Chinese people from the trading industry. Huh. And you know, there's an organization that kind of flew them all in, and they wanted to know about options because options weren't listed there yet, which is it's very, very interesting. This is something I was really fortunate to have gotten so involved with. One thing is that if you know anything about Chinese culture, it's generally very deliberate, you know.
Okay.
They will study something like mad until they really have it just totally dialed in, and then bring that plan forward.
And so
that's what they were doing. They were wanting to launch their first options contract and just sending people who are financial engineers, brokers, members of exchanges to learn all they could about options, which in some ways is sort of ironic because options is pure risk transfer. I mean, by definition, is the most capitalistic thing that has ever been created. And so, you know, just a communist country is sending their people here to learn about this capitalist thing. And so following that, I got invited to go to the Shanghai Futures Exchange and speak for, I think it was a couple of days that time, and ended up just sort of being invited by other organizations to come and train their people. And, you know, I made maybe 10 trips to China to train, you know, big groups of anywhere from, well, from like 50 to 500 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And did some consulting when one of the exchanges was launching their first contract, which I believe it was Horn Meal, if I'm not mistaken. At the Dalian Exchange, they had some last minute questions. They're going to launch it in like a week. And they had me come out just to help make sure that the contract had viability to it, which was just a really fun and interesting project.
Huh. Okay. That's cool. So how are they to work with? Are they pretty friendly or like they're a little stuffy or businesslike? I mean, what do they like to work with?
Man, I'll tell you what, well, just like I said before, I do the things that I do because I'm passionate about it. And the people that I met, I mean, you know, I can't speak for the entire country, were the just the nicest people you could possibly imagine. Just such gracious hosts. And that's why I just kept going back, because, you know, first of all, like, it's, there's parts that are very, very beautiful. Like, I'm a sucker for, you know, history and all this old stuff, and it's such an old culture. Yeah. And, you know, some of these, you know, the Forbidden City and all this, it's really, really neat. And the people are so, so fun. And I'm a foodie, and I love to be able to eat really weird stuff, which, you know, they try and play Freak Out the American.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah.
Like what? What they put in front of you and say, here, eat it.
And there was, let's see, there was river eel, there's chicken feet, of course, donkey.
Donkey.
What else? Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Now, eel, I can understand. I've eaten eel before here.
Yeah.
But, oh, wow, donkey, no kidding. Huh.
But those are eels from the ocean. These right. are ones from, like, the Yellow River, which is just like a muddy river.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And just, you know, like, we had one guy, a couple stories of people who came with me. There's one guy that we went with who, I won't mention his name, who was, like, not a foodie at all. Like, would not even, like, you know, going and ordering, you know, orange chicken from, what is that, Panda Express would be like crazy, you know? And so there's this one like kind of compound that we did a presentation at, or did like 3-day classes at, for a few years in a row. And there was a TGI Fridays there, and he would like every meal was at TGI Fridays. I'm like, how can you eat at TGI Fridays every, you know, three meals a day for like 4 days?
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I know what you're talking about though. How funny.
Yeah.
So as far as the you know, the places that you were eating, besides part of the, you know, Freak Out the American stuff, I mean, did you find the cuisine, I mean, is what we call it, you know, Chinese menu here, is that typically what they're eating over there, or are they like really dining on different stuff most of the time?
Yeah, so the answer is it's very different.
Huh.
Now, apparently, you know, I was describing this to somebody who I forgot even who it was, but I think it's somebody who lives in the U.S., was born in China, and knows both cultures. And I was like, oh, yeah, the food's different. And they're like, what do you mean? That's the same. And I was like, no, I had this and this. And they're like, oh, you know, they're taking you to the fancy places. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know. But, yeah, it didn't really have, like, rice with stuff with gravy on it on top, you know. just many, many different courses of just stuff to pick at and –
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really great. And
were things fairly relaxed over there? Everybody seemed pretty chill?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody was very, you know, very relaxed, very inquisitive, very, like, very respectful too, you know, which again, I think is a cultural thing. But, you know, they really respect knowledge and there are usually two of us, me and John Kamisik, who's our head coach. He would almost always go with me, and we'd do, I forget if it was 3 or 4 days in a row, all day. And so we would split it up where, like, he'd do mornings, I'd do afternoons, and, you know, after I did the mornings, I'd go out to lunch and then go and check out some sites, you know?
Cool.
And I finally talked my wife into coming with me the last time, which was November of 2019.
Okay.
She was like the queen of the subway. She got it all figured out. Like, she could go anywhere in Beijing.
Huh. Well, it's cool. She had a chance to do some sightseeing while you were there too. Not just all work, and, you know, yeah, I got to see the inside of the hotel when that was, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Wow. Now, you said you're the coach. And I know you run the Market Takers. I mean, how'd you wind up, it sounds like you've had some, you know, pretty decent jobs working for others. What prompted you to go ahead and strike out and start your own firm?
Yeah, so in 2000, 2005, I believe. Yeah, 2005. Long story short, the exchange asked me to come and teach classes for them. And this is when, you know, the market was going through some changes and I was figuring out what I wanted to do next. I was a market maker on the trading floor at that point. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I don't know. But I figured, you know what, I'll give it a shot and see if I like it. And if I do, great. If not, I keep doing this. And turned out that I loved it. Found that it's my call. Being a professional trader, a market maker on the trading floor, like nobody ever came up to me and was like, oh, hey, I just wanted to thank you. Like quite the opposite. But,
quite the opposite.
Oh yeah. It's like, oh, you're the son of a, it's taking all my money, you know? but now it's, I find what I do now very rewarding. I get to give back to the trading community. And something special about that.
Yeah. Well, again, going back to with the Chinese and some of the other organizations that you've worked with. So were you teaching them how to trade, or was it more on the making the mechanics of like the exchange? Because you're working with the Shanghai Exchange, helping them get the mechanics of the exchange set up and functional and running that. And like you said, you know, helping them understand the contracts and stuff like that. So was it that side of things or more the actual trading side, how to work the markets?
You know, it was all of the above, and it like there's sort of a life cycle to it really.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. When I first started, I was speaking mostly to PhDs and financial engineers and people who are going to be creating these contracts and needed to understand them on that level. And I'm not a PhD, I'm a practitioner, you know? But I was able to provide some value that in that way. And when people were like, can you explain this math equation? I was like, well, no, and I was happy to tell people what my limitations were also. And then as contracts were being launched, I did have that. I guess I had a couple of consulting projects, but, consulting with the exchange, like, oh my God, we're going to launch this thing on Monday and we have this list of questions. Can you help us to get this contract launched? Mm-hmm. And then after that, once contracts were launched, I found myself talking more to a lot of traders and teaching the different option strategies and how they work and some tactics as well as strategies.
Huh. Very cool. Being able to see kind of the inside of the machine, that's a pretty cool experience that not that many people get. So that's cool that you're able to be part of that. Huh.
Yeah.
So with Market Taker, I mean, how did that originate and come off the ground? Because like you said, there's a life cycle of things, and same thing with starting a business. So how did that go as far as getting that started up?
Oh, right. Yeah. So after I started teaching for the exchange and kind of found that was my calling, I'll make the long story just medium length.
Okay. Yeah, by all means. That's why we're here. We're here to hear the story. So yeah, what you got?
Yeah. So in teaching class for the exchange, a couple of years after I had done that, there was a trading firm that I won't mention, but the trading firm was creating a brokerage firm, and they wanted to create a trading school.
Okay.
And so they hired me to run the education component of the trading school. And also help out with brokerage firm somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And, I left the exchange because they're a trading firm and they were able to give me a lot more money. And in doing that, I kind of really saw how to put together the trading school and the courses to be able to really serve people, mm-hmm, in a way that was different from being at the exchange. Where it was, it was just different. I was able to really see how to find people who needed help, how to really give them the help they needed, by market research and all that. And Now the long story becomes short. And I just figured, well, you know, if I can do it here, and, you know, I sort of learned how to teach at the exchange, learned how a trading education business works at this other place. And learned how to trade down on the trading floor. And so I sort of had this perfect storm to be able to do what I am doing now.
Huh. Very cool. Now, in addition to courses and coaching, you also create tools, right?
Yeah. When I started out, I did a lot of just one-on-one coaching. Which was a lot of, you know, just doctoring, being a doctor for trading problems and such, you know.
Sure.
But then so many people asked, well, do you have an alert service? And I was like, well, no, you know, I don't believe in a service where, like, I say, here, just go trade this. I don't think that would serve you, you know. You're going to trade differently than me, and am I going to tell you when to get out too? Am I going to hold your hand if you get scared, if it goes against you? Like, you know, how do I do this? And so I ended up coming up with this idea to create these tools that help make the whole trading process easier.
Okay.
Where it'll alert people to a trade that's occurring right now that, like, a professional trader is making. Mm-hmm. Which you may or may not want to trade, but it's sort of a tap on the shoulder that says, hey, look at this trade. You know, this traded 4,000 contracts by this professional trader. Like, that's something I want to see, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's the tool that I created, along with the rather simple education that has to go along with it, which is really just more of a checklist. When you see one of these trades, we're going to make sure that it checks all the boxes to make sure that it's something that we should be trading. Right. And if it does, then there you go. And basically what it does is it takes the trading process from an hour of searching and trying to figure out if this is how you should do it, and uncertainty and lack of confidence, to a 3-minute process where you know exactly what you're doing.
Huh. Now, is it like a scanner, right?
Yeah.
Now, is it looking for? I mean, is it set up for all kinds of? Because, you know, with options, it's not just buy and sell. You got all kinds of different things you can do with options. So, is it looking for, like, you know, just buying certain options, selling certain options, spreads, you know, contours, like, you know, different kinds of strategies, or, like, tell me more about how, you know, its capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got 4 different scanners that are in this vein.
Okay.
And the first one came out when the meme stock craze was really, really hot. And that one's called Options Raider.
Okay.
And it looks specifically for short squeeze candidates.
Oh, okay.
And that one, I mean, that one still spits out great candidates. Not quite as many as it did in the real heyday, I guess you would call it. Right. But, you know, it still spits out some really great candidates. And then I thought, well, if this works so well with that, maybe I can do it for credit spreads, because credit spreads are naturally high probability trades, arguably a great deal less risk, especially if they meet that criteria in the checklist that I encourage people to use. And then I figured if I could do that for credit spreads, I can do it for time spreads. And then I figured if I could do it for those two, that I could do it for wing spreads, like butterflies and condors and such.
Okay.
And so, yeah, those are the 4 that we have. And they are just the best thing that I ever created. And I know I'm biased, but it's all relative to the other things I created. So, you know, it's really, really neat.
Huh. Now, so are you working mostly on the buy side of the options, or also on the sell side?
Well, with Options Raider, it's on the buy side. Call buying under very specific criteria. And the other 3 are generally, I mean, they're all option selling. hedged option selling. They're spreads because we tend to get better risk reward with spreads.
Okay.
So it's quite a mix, and it enables. I mean, really, I created these for me, but I figured if they work for me, then I can help the rest of our flock as well. You know.
Yeah. So how have they been performing over the last couple of years with the squirrely world that we've been living in for the last 3 years?
I know, man. Yeah. You know, you would be surprised because a lot of times people think about option selling strategies, negative gamma, for those of you who are options folks out there, that they can be kind of scary in these squirrely, as you put it, markets. But the market has created some really great opportunities for those as well. You know, when we get to, I mean, for example, when we get down to a support level, we can draw a lot of trend lines right now to indicate that, hey, maybe this is support, and it sets up for a nice put credit spread. That and implied volatility, it's got some life in it these days, and options are more expensive in many cases, not all cases, but many cases. That's one of the things we screen for. They're overpriced, which is really, really great when you're selling options. Like if you want to sell something, you want to sell something that's overpriced, that's too expensive.
Huh. Very cool. Well, so just in general, I mean, when somebody comes to you and they say, you know, yeah, I want to learn about options trading. You know, I've been dabbling here and there, but I still don't really know what I'm doing. Do you generally, I mean, when somebody comes to you, do you generally like say, well, let's get you over here in the course or the coaching? Or if they're saying, well, you know, I want to take a look at your scanners. How do you usually direct people, or, you know, what's it like when they come to work with you?
Yeah. I mean, it varies. Sure. And, you know, like one-on-one coaching is not right for everybody. Some people are not at that level yet, or maybe don't take it, they're trading that seriously just yet. And what they're really looking for is, hey, you know, I have a busy schedule. I just need my life to be easier and my trading process to be simpler and faster. And they end up being great candidates for the scanners that we create.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks who maybe they're really, really advanced, they're serious and they want to take it to that next level, they end up being great candidates for one-on-one coaching. Or people who are just starting out and don't want to develop bad habits by, you know, watching some 3-minute video on YouTube or TikTok and you know, thinking they know how to trade because they already know that that's not going to work. And they want to learn the right way from the start. You know, I mean, they make good candidates for one-on-one coaching too.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm glad to clarify that because you were, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, some people aren't ready for the coaching yet. So, well, I mean, you also gave us two scenarios where somebody would be, whether like really advanced or the brand who wanted to start off on the right foot. How would you disqualify somebody and say, no, you're not really ready for the trading or for the one-on-one coaching? What falls into that? What differentiates between ready and not ready?
One of the things we do is even before we, like if they want to talk to us about one-on-one coaching, even before we do, mm-hmm. we'll have them fill out a very preliminary assessment.
Sure.
That talks about their goals, talks about, you know, what they're trying to accomplish and why. And then later in that process, we send them a bigger version of that assessment, like, what do you know? What's your risk tolerance? Who's your broker? Like, we want to really figure out how serious they are about it. Because if somebody is just like, yeah, well, trading's cool, I could probably get rich doing that. Like, you should not, we're going to talk you out of one-on-one coaching. You know, but if somebody is like, yeah, look, you know, I can see the value of this, you know, this thing trading, to help me reach the goal of saving some money for retirement, or, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years and I want to have this my part-time job after I retire next year.
Right.
You know, these are people who are able to envision their future and see trading as part of that. And those are the people we love to work with, because they're the people who are most likely to be able to make it happen.
Right. So just in listening to you as you're describing that there, so would you say maybe maturity is a good way to gauge that?
Yeah. I would say that. Although, you know, I mean, we've worked with, even just recently, we worked with a guy who is, you know, maybe 24 or something like that. Although, you know, he had some pretty starched shirts too, so he might have been mature beyond his age.
Well, yeah, no, when I say mature, not necessarily in age, but just in their attitude about it, and they're looking at it, and, you know, because for me, somebody, they're all get rich quick, and, you know, the ones, like you said, with YouTube, you know, they're learning on Reddit and YouTube and stuff like that. To me, those people, regardless of the personality or their age, as a trader, they're just very immature. They haven't been exposed to it long enough to say, hey, I get it and I need to take it seriously and treat it like a grown up and with some respect. They're just looking at it as a casino where they go have some fun. So yeah, that's what I meant by maturity. So yeah, so as far as people you're looking to work with, it really doesn't matter their age or their experience. You're just looking for kind of that mature attitude about it. Treat it like a grown up with proper respect.
Yeah, because like with any, you know, and I say this in many different contexts to many different people, but like with any business transaction, because, you know, us training you to trade is, I mean, that's my business. It's a business transaction. Mm-hmm. With any business transaction, it's got to be a win-win for both parties, you know, and I don't want to take on somebody for one-on-one coaching where me and our coaching staff, we're investing our time in this person. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of people that we can train. It doesn't have to be that person who's not serious. You know, we want somebody who's going to graduate out of our one-on-one coaching and be able to do it and be able to reach those goals. So yeah, I mean, we really want that more serious person.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Now with your coaching, the one-on-one coaching, how long does that usually take? I mean, how long is somebody typically with you for the one-on-one coaching?
Typically it's a year.
Okay.
So typically a year, there's a fair amount of content with it. And one thing that I've learned from investing in my own education, not with trading, but with other things, is that if somebody can take this information that I need and like put it into a sentence, you know, if that class takes like 7 seconds, oh man, I would pay a lot of money for that class, which is kind of different than when I first started teaching. I was like, well, you know, I've got to give them a lot, hours and hours of content. And then I realized that no, people, I don't want that. I don't want to sit and watch this video after video after video. So even though there's a fair amount of content that comes with our one-on-one coaching, it's very, very, concentrated.
Cool.
And so I want to make sure that person makes the best use of his or her time. Mm-hmm. And you know, if I know that, hey, these videos are going to be too basic for you, you already know these things, you're going to skip those. If you're very, very interested in the investing side of it, covered calls and cash secured puts, we're going to steer you towards this and maybe not have you worry about how to trade straddles.
Right.
So we try and curate that experience so that it makes the most efficient use of this person's time, because, hey man, people are busy. A lot of our folks have full-time jobs, or they don't, and that's because they don't want a full-time job.
True.
You know? Yeah. So yeah, it's,
well, it's good that you do that. And I, I mean, I do the same thing, and I do it also just because, like you said, I know it's what it's like being on the other side of it. It also makes just playing for a more effective learning experience if you're not having to deal with a whole lot of stuff that's just burning mental energy.
Yes.
To consume it. It's like, no, if you just give me the meat, cool. I'll learn better with just that rather than the 1,100-page book. So, yeah, it just makes for a more effective and enjoyable experience. So, yeah, that's good that you do that. Huh, very cool. Wow, this has really been cool. Now, as far as the, options, and I have to ask this just because it, obviously as far as, you know, your history and your experience and everything, it's, you got a different tale to tell than most people. And, you know, as far as your coaching, it sounds pretty cool. I like the sound of, you know, the sound of your scanners. I'll have to take a closer look at that. I'm not in the option space myself, but I know a lot of people who are, so I want to check them out. But as far as, what really sets you apart, though, would you say, as far as, you know, in being a trading educator in the option space, what are a couple of things that set you apart from, you know, the many that are out there?
Well, I mean, I think there's a number of people who take maybe an overly simplistic approach to it. That the thing about options is that there's not just the directional component, there's the time component, the volatility component, interest component, there's a dividend component. And it's my observation that there are some people teaching options, and it's really just like, here's how to buy a call. And they maybe don't always use the full power available to them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, here, I'll teach you how to read a chart to see a breakout, which is a great skill to have, and how to buy a call, which is also a great skill to have. But I like to take it a little deeper and make sure that even if you're doing a very straightforward one-leg strategy, that you're putting every single thing you can on your side. If you're going to buy a call, which call is the best to buy? Let's compare the thetas and the vegas and look at our time horizon. What is the optimal way to trade this to put as many things on my side as possible? Because, you're in the business, Brian, you know as well as anybody. I mean, trading's hard. You're going to have losing trades as well as winning trades. And knowing that, you got to make the best out of every single opportunity you have and make every trade the best you can by putting as many things on your side as you can.
Yeah. Well, I when you started off, I think you definitely hit it on the head. There are a lot of people in the options space, but yeah, I think there's so many of them that are, they're oversimplifying it and not really giving their customers the best service because they're shorting them the full understanding of it. Because options aren't easy. They're definitely more sophisticated than other ways to trade. And so, yeah, that's good that you are taking the depth. I mean, there's so many out there that are, you know, yelling out binary options and, you know, push button, easy, all that kind of crap. And for options, it's like, no way. The options is, this world is not that simple. It definitely takes a more sophisticated level of, you know, understanding for sure. So, yeah, it's good that you do that. Very cool. Well, excellent. Well, Dan, I tell you what, I've totally enjoyed talking with you. This has really been excellent, and appreciate you coming, you know, coming on the podcast and doing the interview. It's definitely worthwhile and cool to hear some of your experiences and everything. And now, as far as best way to contact you though is with the Market Taker Mentoring site, correct?
Yeah, that's the easiest way to reach me. There is a contact us link on there. Hit me up if you're interested in, anything that I can help you with. Feel free to contact me. You can even join a portion of our site that is free right now. Just click on the button that says join free. And there's a lot of great tools, especially for newer folks, but even for experienced people too.
And as far as, you know, what you got going on now, the scanners, that's the main thing that you're focusing on right now, right?
Well, there's always something up my sleeve, Brian. I'm constantly working on just new ways to trade for myself, and then if it works for me, to bring it to the rest of our folks. And so, yeah, I'm doing a lot with the scanners right now, but I got a couple other kicks in the oven.
All right. Well, excellent. Well, very cool. And I did go ahead and join your community just because you piqued my curiosity. I want to check out your website and everything. So I'll be curious to see what you got on the horizon coming up here. And for all the listeners, one thing I would definitely strongly recommend, especially if you are serious, you know, in options or thinking about options. Dan, like he was just saying, and you know, caught on, the fact that he's really wanting to treat options trading with the proper respect. If, you know, what he was sharing with you and his attitude about it, you know, if that resonates with you, I mean, Dan's a good guy. He's been around a long time, taught tons of people, obviously. And so he knows what he's doing when it comes to teaching. But, you know, if you're in the options space, don't just sit there and say, wow, you know, it was kind of cool, and then go about your day. If you know, this makes sense to you, or, you know, like I said, you resonate with what he had to say and you would like to improve your, you know, your options game, definitely go ahead and reach out to him and take some action on it. The conversation, you know, to find out more about it, I mean, like I said, you can reach out, and there's no cost to, you know, start the conversation with him and learn more about what he's doing. And I can tell you, I mean, just obviously he's had, you know, a lot of high-level people around the world seek out his help. So obviously he knows how to deliver good value as far as helping you, you know, with your trading and everything. So definitely reach out. Take action on what you're doing. Don't just settle for subpar trading. That's my main thing. Take action on it. Go ahead and reach out to Dan if you like it. So, and again, Dan, thank you so much, you know, for being here. I appreciate your time, and look forward to doing this again with you. Find out more what you got coming on the horizon. So,
that sounds great, Brian. Thank you so much for having me. This was it was fun, just sort of shooting the breeze here.
Yeah, indeed. Well, everybody, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. Cheers. Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. Make sure to swing by Inside Out Trading and pick up your copy of The Proven Formula for Consistent Monthly Profits. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.